Support for GLT comes from Wendell Niepagan Greenhouses, the place to go for things that grow. Proud sponsor of the Dean of Green on GLT. Open 7 days a week on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington or anytime at niepagans.com. NIEPAGENS.com. This is GLT.
When you want to find someone to date, you go to Tinder or OkCupid. When you want to find just the right tree for your life, you go to MRF. I'm Laura Kennedy. This is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences. It's Patrick Murphy. Hello there, MRF.
Happy harvest time, Laura. Hello.
Hello, and thanks so much for being here today on GLT's Grow. We have a question from Kansas concerning conifers. I just had to alliterate a little bit much in there. This is from Neil in Kansas City, Kansas, who's looking for the perfect conifer for adverse conditions. He's in zone 5, and he says they have dry, cold winters, super hot, humid summers, and wind year-round. And I'm telling you, Neil, that sounds like central Illinois as well. He says we have a builder backfilled clay in his yard, which doesn't help the situation. And so he's looking for recommendation for some needled evergreens that can contend with these conditions outside of typical Norway spruce, Black Hill spruce, Austrian pines. So he wants to know, Murph, if you can recommend something for him.
Okay, I think we can do that and touch on some other items in the question.
All right.
But listen, I love Kansas. Oh. I want everybody to know I'm not ashamed that I love Kansas. And I actually lived in Manhattan, Kansas for 1 year during my military career.
Cool.
And the reason I love it is because it's a very different state than I anticipated. I was expecting the flat Kansas Prairie and the Great National Prairie. And, you know, the geographic center of America is in Kansas.
Yes.
But Kansas City all the way to Manhattan, maybe a little bit further to Salina, Kansas. It's not flat. It's very bluffy.
Oh.
And there's a lot of rock. So it would be very common to see the entrance to a subdivision or high ground accented with this rock, indigenous rock.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very picturesque and beautiful because of that. But they have something in common to us, not just the, you know, the flamethrower summer and the Mr. Freeze winter, which we get here. But in Kansas City, Kansas area, they have all that with shallower soils.
Oh.
And the straight line winds are a little stronger because they're closer to the prairie. And so they have the same limitations or similar limitations to us gardeners here in the Midwest, where the native evergreens amount to basically your Virginia cedar, red cedar.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty, and you see them on the roadsides a lot, and they sometimes have this very kind of contorted, pointy appearance. Other times they just have kind of a feathery, upright, kind of pear-shaped appearance.
And,
but they're a host to a disease called rust.
Oh, no.
You know, so they're not sought out as often. You see them occur, see them used a lot in naturalized landscapes, and you see them along the roadways a lot. And I say that because that's the native choice. That's not much to choose from. So Neil and us gardeners here in the Midwest, we have to choose from a variety of adaptable evergreens. He mentioned Austrian pine. I wouldn't recommend that, even though it does grow all over out there, just like it does here.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's too common. He doesn't want that anyway.
So here's some more exotic ones that are in the juniper family.
Ooh.
You know, that's the Virginia cedar is actually a juniper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Juniperus is the genus for that. But within the juniper family are a lot of unusual cultivars. And these are like cousins, right?
Okay.
Of the juniper. And just like people, they come in all shapes and sizes and different tones and colors and everything.
Cool.
And that's part of what makes all of us and all of them so darn interesting. So there are some cultivars that are common here that we use that in the juniper family, like Wichita Blue and the Skyrocket Juniper.
Ooh.
You know, and they're neat, and they have that kind of silvery blue color, and they definitely have a fragrant smell to them when they're wet or
that's
in the morning.
That's nice. A little addition there.
Yeah, so if they're close to an outdoor living space or a window, you get that benefit too.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, Murph is helping Neil from Kansas City pick out a conifer for his yard.
So let's keep going down that road
All right.
talk about the conifer dilemma. And Neil mentions it because he describes his clay soil situation, his clay soil setup that comes about from the builder sometimes, you know?
Setup indeed.
Yeah, right. But, you know, clay gets a bad rap. It's not bad soil. It just has crappy drainage.
Okay.
You know, and I mean, that can be fixed, or can be some engineering and some muscle involved to kind of alleviate that problem.
Good point.
It's very fertile, you know, but the drainage might require an extra large hole in digging to prepare that root ball to be sunk into the ground. You can even use some kind of PVC tubing or corrugated drain tile to kind of have a pilot that goes all the way to the bottom of the hole, not touching the root ball, away from the root ball. So this would be a big hole. And it just acts as a drain. Keeps trapped water from collecting in that clay bowl, which is the hole you've dug in the clay soil.
So what tree am I thinking about putting in there? Or Neil?
So Neil, hey, I wanted you to think about taxus also, the yew, the common yew.
Oh.
And the reason I want you to consider it's because they can get quite large, and you can find lots of nurseries that have the larger ones that usually are special requests, or they're sought after, because you don't see a great big yew in the nursery very often, but they're out there. And they're very tough. They have a great, reliable, history. And I think that they're neat because, again, like a lot of other plants, we've got the Hicks yew is one variety that's very upright and columnar.
Mm-hmm.
And I found one at a local nursery. It's a fastigiata, Taxus fastigiata, and it grows kind of like a spire or a spike.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I know, and it's really neat. And then you've got the other shapes. You got the pear. You got the wedge. You got the resting cow, right? This low-growing
deal. It sounds like maneuvers that skateboarders make.
Indeed. They are now, right? So, but it's a great family that you can find some plants of size, and they're going to work there. But in this juniper family, we've got a couple of cultivars. I thought I could just name them off. Blue Arrow and Blue Berkeyi. One is kind of lumpy and one is kind of symmetrical. You know, so there's some adaptability in your planting design. But there's also some cultivars called the Hill Spire, the Sentinel, and the Canert. That's C-A-N-A-E-R-T. They're kind of the lumpy ones too. And I say that they're in a specimen kind of appearance. So you wouldn't want a whole colony of those. They would be something that would flank a path or flank a driveway or maybe build a line somewhere to separate two areas of a garden. And then the last two I noticed were Perfecta and Ketelerii.
Oh, my God.
K-E-T-E-L-E-R-I. It just rolls right off the tongue. But there are also cultivars that have that really neat silvery blue appearance. And junipers in general are kind of a tough wood plant, and they also have a little blueberry that if you're a real resourceful pioneer prepper type, you'll be making some gin out of it.
Pioneer prepper type. And if you do make some gin, Neil, do share.
Yeah, why not?
A nice thank you. And these will all do well in that clay soil that
they'll
you have to
deal
with.
They'll all do well. And I kind of threw out the common ones because Neil did too. No arborvitas, no spruces. Norway spruce is a notably adaptable variety, but it sounds like that's something he's explored, and that's not the look he's going for.
And he wants something a little more unusual on his property, and why not go for something like that?
That's right. I think that you've got something to choose from there, Neil.
Okay, thank you so much, Neil, for your question, and good luck with finding a great tree for your yard. And thanks to you, Murph, as well. Next week on GLT's Grow, Murph has some great advice on garden shop service, what to expect, what not to expect, so you can get what you want when you're heading out to the garden shop. Now, if you've got a good gardening question or problem that you'd like Murph to tackle, go to our website, wglt.org/grow, fill in the form and send it along to us. Maybe Murph will answer your question on the air. Submit those questions at wglt.org/grow.